Good morning, Lighthouse. So good to see you all this morning. We're glad you're making a choice to come and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today is typically Youth Converge Sunday. We're going to do it just a little bit different. We're having the kids out here for worship. Then after worship, you guys will go back, and then you'll still be converged together, kids and teens. You'll still have your brunch. I'm sure everybody was worried about that. But you still get to eat some food, so that'll be good. You're just going to be out here for worship, and then you'll be dismissed to go back. I also wanted to make a special recognition this morning. If I could have Mr. Zayden stand, where did he go? Zayden has been doing super great with pole vaulting, and he's had several colleges wanting him. And so he just recently made a choice, and Zayden will be attending the University of Houston on a pole vaulting scholarship. Let's give him a hand. Thank you, Zayden. We are very, very proud of you. And so I encourage you guys, continue to pray for Zayden because it's a little further away, but he, I know, has prayed about that decision. And I believe God has a plan for him in Texas, at least for a short time. I'm praying God brings him back, but that's just a selfish prayer. But whatever God has in store, that's what we want Zayden to follow, God's will for his life. We did have a great time at Talent Expo yesterday. We're going to talk more about that next week. So next week, we'll be recognizing all of the students who participated. We're so thankful for all the adult helpers. We'll talk about that next week. And we're hoping, if my youth pastors are listening, we are hoping to have the Teen Human Video do their song for us next Sunday. So if all of you teens who are in the Human Video can be prepared for that, we would love to incorporate you next Sunday. So hopefully that'll be coming. And everyone else who participated throughout the next several weeks, we want to be having them incorporated as well so you can see those songs. And in a few weeks, we'll have the art projects posted so you can see those. We have some short stories. We have some gifted students. Give them a hand. And I absolutely love to see when students are using their gifts for the Lord. Because how many of you know they can use their gifts for other things? And that's what a lot of people in this world are doing right now. But how much more blessed when you do it for the purpose you were created for, and that's to bring glory to God. So we're going to continue to recognize them throughout the next several weeks. Also, we have gotten a bid on the parking lot. I'm sure none of you have noticed the mess out there. But we are working on getting that cleaned up. We have a guy who said he's able to do it. We will be taking a special offering next Sunday for that. So if you're able to give to that project, I think it was around $6,000 to get that finished up and be praying with us. We asked him if he could please have it done by Easter. We would be very grateful. So I don't know if that'll happen or not, but it will be happening soon. So that'll be all cleaned up, extra parking there, and just a little bit safer than what it is right now. So speaking of Easter, we have a lot of fun things coming up. We encourage you to invite someone to come with you on Easter morning. We're doing a sunrise service at 7 a.m. for anyone who would like to come. We will be taking communion at that time, and it'll just be a more relaxed and intimate service at that time. We'll be providing some breakfast afterwards if you'd like to stay. If you want to go home and come back, that's fine. But then we have our normal worship service at 10 a.m. Our district ladies likes to do a Easter hat promotion. So any of you ladies who would like to wear an Easter bonnet or some kind of hat, you are welcome to do so on Easter Sunday, and we will take a picture, and we send it into our district women's ministry leader, and she loves to see all of the different hats for Easter. So feel free to participate in that if you'd like to. And then we also have our special Easter choir. So if you are a part of that, remember you have practices Tuesdays at 7, Thursdays at 7:30, and that is going to be a great, great treat on Easter to hear that Easter choir performing. And the best part is it's not just a performance. It is worship. And so we're excited for the extra voices that get to be involved on that Easter Sunday. And then the last thing we have for Easter Sunday is we are doing a baby dedication. So if anyone else has a child who would like to be dedicated who has not been yet, please let us know this week, and we can dedicate as many babies as we need to. But we definitely have one that we will be dedicating on Easter Sunday. And then two more announcements. There is a paint party this Friday for all ladies. So that is at 6 p.m. right here at the church. And if you did not sign up, they said they will have extra supplies, but it is $15 cash only. So please bring cash if you want to paint. And if not, you can come and eat cookies with me. And that is at 6 p.m., so all ladies are welcome to attend. And my last announcement is we have been doing morning prayer at 5:30 a.m. during the week, and that will end at the end of March. So we want you to still keep praying. It's just the church here will not be open and unlocked at that time, but please pray at home every day, whether it's morning or night. Prayer is important, amen? And prayer changes things, and we need to be in connection with our Father and having conversation with Him. And at this time, Sister April is coming with our call to worship scripture.
Good morning, Lighthouse family. How are you all today? Good. It's so great to be in the house of the Lord. When we come together and see each other, it just makes a difference. Online is great, and there's a time and a place for that. But if you are able to get into the house of the Lord, you will be blessed, and so will your family. I'd like for you all to look and greet your person on your left. Greet your person on your right. Look behind you and say, I am glad you are here. make do. There's someone to your left. There's someone to your right, I'm sure. The body of Christ is such a beautiful family. And we here are blessed with one of the very best. It's not everywhere you go that you can feel a part of and feel welcomed in the body of Christ. Praise God for who He is, praise God for what He's done, and praise God for what He is doing. I'd like to open up with reading out of Psalms chapter 63. It's a few verses, but it's just really spoke to me this week, so I'd like to share it with you. Oh God, You are my God. I earnestly search for You. My soul thirsts for You. My whole body longs for You in this parched and weary land. I have seen You in Your sanctuary and gazed upon Your power and Your glory. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. Oh, how I praise You, Lord. I will praise You for as long as I live, lifting my hands up to You in prayer. You satisfy me more than the richest feasts. I will praise You with songs of joy. I lie awake thinking of You, meditating on You through the night, because You are my helper. I sing for joy in the shadow of Your wings. I cling to You. Your strong right hand upholds me securely. This passage of scripture lets us know that God's got us. He's got our family. He's got our best interest on His mind. And He knows how to get us to where we need to be so that we can fulfill our purpose that He's created us for. I encourage each and every one of you today to enter into worship knowing this. Lift your hands, raise your voice, press into His presence. So if you would stand with me now as we pray, prepare to bring your tithe and offerings. The ways to give are up here. We have baskets along the front. It is a way of worship to bring what God has given you. Dear Father God, we just thank You. We thank You that we are known by You. We thank You that You've made love known through Jesus, Your Son. We pray You would have Your way in this place, in each and every person here. We worship You, and we give You all the glory, the honor, and praise. Please bless these people who are here today. Bless the tithes and offerings. Let them be used to further Your kingdom. In Jesus' name we thank You, and we won't fail to give You the glory and the honor. Amen.
Thank God I'm free, free, free from this world of sin. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. I've been born again. I found out He would bring me out.
So the Lord is highlighting Philippians 2, which we're all very familiar with, and it starts in verse 5, and it reads, "Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." And then I'm going to skip down to where it says, "He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." The Lord is calling us to humble ourselves and lay down our lives as servants, forsaking our own life and putting others above us, even to death, not forsaking what the Lord has done. So we're called to humility today, to lower ourselves, to take posture in humbleness. And in the mind of Christ, that means think like he did. He thought of the world and laid himself down for us.
In my life, real growth has not happened when I was like this. Real growth happens when I'm like this. I'm going to ask you to do something for me this morning. Some of you are older and you think, if I get on my knees, I'm never getting back up. physically. But if you can find a place this morning for just a minute or two, will you kneel with me this morning? Will you find a place in the front or in the middle aisle? Or will you kneel with me? There's something about physical posture. There's something about physically kneeling. Your physical body coming down. And if you can, just put your face to the ground. Oh, Father. Oh, Father. Verse 1, Sister Alicia. Redemption's hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom, and you were as I, you were tempted and tried.
Oh, this morning, as I seen everyone come up here and kneel, I thought to myself, and I was reminded, you know, our minds, the way that we are wired, I guess, tells us all the time the things that we have to lay down, all the things in our life. And it's not that we're oblivious to the things. I know the things that I got to put down. So do you. But it's coming before Him on our knees, first recognizing that first I must lay myself. It is until you lay yourself down, until you lay yourself down, fighting things that you're fighting will not stop. You cannot just put down the things. I wasn't able to just stop drinking alcohol. If I just stopped drinking alcohol and didn't imply anything to do with the Lord, then I'd still be drinking alcohol. I had to lay myself down. I had to say, no, from this point forward, it's not what I want. It's what He wants in my life. And it goes so much deeper than that. You know, it's just here recently that I myself have learned from this. It's taking not allowing myself to be offended by different things that happen in a church setting, because where's my mind at? It's not on Caleb anymore. It's, you know what? Maybe, and I just talked to Betty about this morning, maybe someone came in and did something different because they were doing something for the kingdom and I just wasn't there. Okay. They did something for the kingdom. That's all that matters to me. So what? I got to go back and move my guitar from another room to the next room or whatever it may be. Who cares? Maybe it's just because my guitar needed to be used for someone to reach somebody else. Maybe the things that I have needed to be used for someone to reach someone else, because at the end of the day, it's not mine. And I don't belong to Caleb anymore either. I belong to Him. So I just want to encourage you today that as you came up here, take that back with you. I lay myself down so that I can lay what I need to lay down. Hallelujah.
Thank you. You lift your hands, give him praise right now. Open your mouth and just talk to Jesus right now. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Everything that you've accomplished at the cross, thank you for everything that you've done, Jesus, for us. You did it for us, Lord. And in return, we give you our lives, God. Lay down our life for you as living sacrifices, as your word says, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. It's reasonable. Makes sense. Since you gave your life for us, we give our lives to you, Lord. You have purchased us with the highest price by shedding your blood and giving your life. Us. We are no longer our own, but we give ourselves to you freely. God, I thank you that after you purchased us, you gave us our freedom. Now we get to choose whether we will give our lives to you or not. And we do that this day, Lord. We give our lives to you, God, right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. 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 We glorify your holy name, Lord. I was thinking, as we were worshiping God, giving him praise and honor, I was thinking of the verse in Hebrews, I believe it's chapter 12, where he said, "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, the shame of the cross, the punishment of the cross. He endured it. Every aspect of the cross, he endured it because the joy that was set before him." And there are moments in our life where humbling ourselves to God, submitting to him, is not comfortable. It's not even convenient. But it's nothing compared to the sacrifice he made on the cross for us. It's nothing. The pain and the suffering he endured, but he did it because the joy that was set before him, right? He was looking into the future. He was looking into your future. You realize that? He was looking into your future. That there would be a moment of time where you would come face to face with a decision on whether you would receive Jesus or not. And he wanted you to have that opportunity to receive that sacrifice. Had he not endured the shame of the cross, the pain of the cross, the torture of the cross, that moment would have never came for you and I. So he looked forward into the future and said, "Yes, Father, your will be done, not my will be done." Now, isn't it worth us doing the same? That we can say, "God, you know the future." We don't. And there may be a moment where me laying my life down matters for somebody else. Me giving my heart to you, first of all, will make me live eternally in heaven with you. But more than that, gives me an opportunity to share this great message with everyone else. And I'm willing to lay my life down, lay my heart down, wholly give ourselves to him, body, soul, and spirit. Amen? Hallelujah. I was thinking this morning, we've had different moments throughout this first quarter of the year where we had different expressions of praise. And I was thinking about the different words in the Bible that are translated praise and the actions that go with those words. If you've ever studied and dabbled in Hebrew a little bit, you'll realize that there's actually seven different words that are Hebrew words that we just translate praise as praise. And we've had the Tauda praise where we gave a heave offering. You remember that Sunday where we heave things up to the Lord, giving Him a praise. And we've been doing the Judah praise where we lift our hands and praise Him. And we do Zamir praise almost every Sunday, which is the playing and singing of music. That's a form of praise. And we from time to time have the Halal praise, which is the hilarious, wild, spinning, dancing praise that people, when they feel the presence of God so powerfully come upon their life, they begin to just whirl around and dance and run around and shout. We had a Ruach shout, remember that Sunday where we just shouted victory unto God. This morning God began to move in a different posture, a different way to praise, and the word is Barak. And it means to bow before God and give Him praise. And in that bowing unto Him, giving Him praise, is also the form of submission that He's King and He's Lord. And so we humble ourselves, submit ourselves to Him, and in doing so, picturing the work that He did at the cross, right? And we're bowing ourselves before God in humility, thanking Him and praising Him for everything that He accomplished at the cross. We are moving closer and closer and closer to the week of Christ's passion. And as we move closer to that, I think it's important that we take moments and reflect on the work that Jesus Christ did for us. And next week will be Palm Sunday is what we call it. We're going to come together and we're going to celebrate. We're going to celebrate together. And so I announced this last week, but just to remind you, it's the start of a new quarter. Our first quarter, we began with consecration of this year, did 21 days of consecration, and we're going to be moving into this next quarter as we move into April, and we're going to come together again, but it's going to look different. God's going to do something different in us, but we're going to have just a combined service again, like we did at the beginning of the year when we did those three Sundays together. We're going to come together and do that again. So young people, you won't be dismissed to your class next week. We're going to come together. We're going to worship God together. But we are going to celebrate Christ's triumphal entry, Palm Sunday. So get ready to come. And I'll just hint to you, don't let any rocks cry out for you. It just give you a hint what next Sunday is going to be like. Don't let the, and listen, there's plenty of rock up here. When we built this facility, trust me, we found there were times where they couldn't even dig deep enough to where they thought they needed to dig, and we are literally built on the rock. So there's plenty of rock up here that can cry out for you. I'm not going to let no rock cry out for me. Amen. I'm going to come and worship the Lord, but I'm excited about what God's doing in us, and sometimes as your pastor, I need to slow down and take moments and explain to you what's going on. And the Spirit of God was moving us in a form of praise this morning that's different. And sometimes that's difficult for Pentecostals because we like the halal praise, right? We like the hilarious whirling, spinning, running, shouting, dancing praise. That's what we're known for. That's what we're comfortable with. But God needs to bring us to these moments where we humbly submit our lives to Him in praise. And that's that Barak praise. And it setting up, I love how the Holy Spirit works because it's setting up what God has laid on my heart to minister to you this morning. And so I'm excited for that. And we're going to dismiss the students. But before we do, young people, first of all, I want to say how proud I am of you and the work that you did yesterday. Yeah, let's give them a hand. And I want to just say this, too. There was, where are they at? Logan and Landon. Stand up, fellas. Everybody turn around and stare at them to make them feel uncomfortable. These two guys didn't participate on the stage yesterday. They didn't put in an entry in arts and crafts, but they participated in Talent Expo. A very much needed part of Talent Expo. That when Talent Expo was over, these two guys grabbed what's called dry mops and swept the entire hallway. They swept the auditorium, cafeteria area. These guys participated in Talent Expo. Why don't you give them a hand? That's a huge thing that needs to be done. Thank you, fellas. You may be seated. And sometimes we get so focused on what's going on the stage, we forget what's going on behind the scenes. And it's important that we see every aspect of Talent Expo. And thank you all of you adults. I'm not leaving you out. I saw all the hard work that you were doing too. I so much appreciate it. I so appreciate all the gifts that God has given us that were being used yesterday, whether it be cleaning, picking up, or whether it be singing or dancing or whatever. And it's exciting. I love moments like yesterday because I get to see the body of Christ in action. I get to see every piece of the body functioning and working together, and it's exciting. But before we dismiss the students, I want the kids to pray with us this morning. We've been going to the Lord in prayer for some specific things that God's laid upon our heart, and we have purposed and committed that every Sunday when we gather together, we were going to pray for souls, people who were lost. And we're going to do that this morning, but we're going to also not only pray for lost souls, we're going to pray for prodigals. You remember the three parables that Jesus told? There was the lost sheep that he left and went and found. There was the lost coin that the woman swept and looked for and found. And then there was the prodigal that decided to leave and become lost, right? And that one was different. That one wasn't that the person went looking for the prodigal. That one was the father stood and waited for the return of the prodigal. And so when we pray for people who are lost, we need to pray specifically for the need and where they are living. There's some people that are just lost, like the sheep or the coin. They need to be found. We need to pray that that Jesus would find them, that the Holy Spirit would lead them unto God. But then there are also people who have known God and have walked away from God. Those are the prodigals. Those are the ones that we stand beside the Father and we keep peering down the road watching for their return. And we do that by praying in faith, believing that they will come back. Amen? And so when we're praying for the lost, I want you to think about that this morning. We also, when we pray for the lost, need to pray for laborers, because Jesus said that he saw the need and he saw that the harvest was ripe, but he said, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers, right? That's you. That's me. And so as we pray for this, we should also be praying that God would stir our heart to connect with people and bring them unto the kingdom of God, right? And as we're doing that, we're setting our faith together and believing that God's going to give us a tenth of our city. That a tenth of the people will join us here in this congregation so that we can do more kingdom work together. That, what is that, 360 to 380 people are going to become part of this because 3,600 people in Cary, right? And that's what we're believing for. And then as we also pray, we're going to pray for the Hispanic church plant that we have been working towards. Just so you know, Pastor Darius is with Pastor Juan Salinas this morning at Church of the Living God over in Findlay, Ohio. He's working with him. He's a great man of God and has actually ties to Hispanic communities around here regionally. And what's interesting, what I found with this is not only is he just preaching the message this morning at this church with him, but Pastor Juan has him going on radio with him. And I just see God lining up connections for Pastor Darius to reach Hispanic community as we work together to launch this church. And so I want you to continue to pray. There's some other things, other information that we've been getting. And so we're still praying. We're still working on making connections to that community. So that's a focus of that prayer. So please pray with that with us, because we want to reach all people. How many know that the more different colors, skin pigmentations we have in this congregation, the more we look like heaven? And I say it that way because I don't get hung up on color, if you can even call it that. It's skin pigmentation. You know what I mean? But the more diversity we have, the more we look like heaven. Read your Bible. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue will be there bowing their knee to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it amazing that we can do it now? We can do it right now, right? So let's pray for these things. Let's join our faith together and pray for them. Would you do that with me this morning? Let's do that. Bow your heads with me. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you see these things that we've listed before you. You see these souls that we've been praying for. You see those cards that we filled out that say reach one, teach one, and how we've committed to pray every day for that one person that you've put on our heart. And we've committed that once a month we're going to invite them to a gathering where your church would be together, Lord, so they can be ministered to. And once a quarter, we're going to speak to them about eternity, God, and where they are headed, Father. And we lift them up to you right now, Jesus. We lift others up to you that we want to see rescued from eternity in hell, damnation of their soul, God, that they would spend eternity in punishment. Rescue them, find them, Jesus, where they are. Holy Spirit, guide them to the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ as their Savior and their Lord, Father. And God, we stand beside you, believing and knowing that you will move on the prodigals, that they will come to themselves. They will realize the pit that they have put themselves in by running away from you. They will realize how tortured they are in their hearts and their souls and their minds, God. And they will return back to you. And we stand with you, Father, as we peer down the road waiting for their return. For Father, we've seen so many prodigals come back to you in years gone by, Lord, and we believe that there are more returning to you right now. You see their lives, God. We cry out and we plead the blood of Jesus over them, and the Spirit would draw them back to you, Lord, and they would come back to their Father, we pray right now. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us the opportunity to be co-laborers with you in the kingdom. We thank you, God, that you're sending us forth to work in your fields, to harvest these people, to bring them unto you, Lord, so that they could be rescued by you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that as we pray for these souls, we also pray for strength, for empowerment, for courage, for wisdom as we go forth and be the church in this generation to lead people to you, to be the voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. I thank you that you're stirring our hearts and our lives, and I thank you, Lord, as we do this, that you will add to this church, you will grow this community, Lord, and you will give us the tenth of our city like your word declares. We stand upon your word in faith, and we believe it, and we declare it in the name of Jesus. God, as we pray, Lord, for our church, we also pray for this new church plant that we're working towards. Lord, right now we're in a mode of seeking you for direction, for understanding, for wisdom, for we want to follow your order, God. We want to do it your way. And Father, you see exactly how we need to go about that. So lead us, guide us, give us connections to this community that needs you, Lord. Many of them even know you and serve you, but they have no place to worship you. Make a way available for us to connect to them so they can know our heart is that we are one. We are one body coming together and worshiping you. God, I pray that you would move in our midst, that you would move in our young people this morning, that you would move in the adults, Lord, that you would move across not only this church, but every church in America, every church around the world, Lord, that we would be your church, that we'd be strengthened and encouraged this day. We speak blessing in your name. We pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, young people and students. You're dismissed to go to YCS this morning. We encourage you to go and enjoy your time together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. How many of you love the Lord? How many are thankful for the work that He's done in your life? How many are thankful for the work He's doing in your life? I'm thankful that the term salvation is past, present, and future. God's gift of salvation is so powerful. It covers every generation. It covers every tense, right? It's past. God has already done His work of salvation. It's present. Today is the day of salvation, right? He's saving us right now. And it's futuristic that one day He will gather His people unto Himself. How many of you are looking forward to just the fact that we get a glorified body? Amen. I mean, after that day yesterday, my body aches a little bit. You know? Yeah, I see somebody going, yes, Pastor, yes. We're going to get a glorified body. Man, that means we can run forever. That means that we could do like Talent Expo all the time and never get tired, right? And so I'm looking forward to those days. And that just means then that the term salvation is an ongoing work. That it has been done, it's being done, and it will be done. And therefore, it covers every generation. From the very beginning of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ until His return, salvation is working. Isn't that amazing? Only God can do that, right? Like if I start something, it comes to an end pretty quick. Right? How many ever started a diet and by lunchtime, it was over? Yeah, right? God starts something and it's eternal. He tells us in the book of Genesis from the very beginning of creation that not only did He create something and speak it into existence, but He put the seed within it so that it could continue on and reproduce itself. God is the only one that can do that. Mankind create things and it may create something that lives for a time, but how many know it can't reproduce itself? You ever heard of a mule? Right? You take a donkey and a horse and people put that together and that's not how God created it, but they can create a mule, but a mule does not have the seed within itself to reproduce itself. Only God can do these things, right? And so you have to understand that when God created salvation through Jesus Christ, the cross and His blood, He put something inside of us that is reproducible. We can't do it ourselves, but He's doing it. Amen? Y'all really quiet on me this morning. You're making me nervous. So I want you to go with me to the book of Hebrews. We're going to highlight this real quick again. And we're going to hit two this morning, not one, but two of these six basic doctrines that I've been teaching you. And I want to just read through this very quickly here so I can move into what God has said in my heart. Now listen, if you get quiet on me, I will preach longer. And not because I want to, because I think you're not getting it. Okay? And if I think you're not getting it, I got to keep explaining it, which takes longer. All right? I know you are. That's why I'm trying to get you going here. Look, I'm tired too, but I'm standing up here preaching, so. The Bible says this. Therefore, let us leave the elementary or basic doctrine of Christ and go on to maturity, not laying again a foundation. Now, here's where we have the list because it's a laying again of, right? The foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Then it goes on to say, and of instruction about washing. We preached about that last week. The laying on of the hands. We preached about that the week before. The resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. These are the six basic doctrines that God lists here in His Word in the book of Hebrews. And I want to remind you that the book of Hebrews was written to Jewish people. That's why it's called Hebrews. And so not only do these six basic doctrines connect to the Christian faith, but they also are a look back and a connection to the Jewish faith and the Jews. And so they're based on principles that God gave us through the law of Moses, through what He spoke to the Jews. But I need you to understand that God brought us to a different point. And I found it very interesting that as we are coming to a close of the first quarter, that God has me going back to the very thing that He started us with. So what He's saying here is, I had you start with consecration. I'm going to end this quarter with consecration to make sure that you have really consecrated, dedicated, set your life apart for me. Did you catch that during worship this morning? Let's lay our lives down. Let's have the mind of Christ, right? Let's give up all of our stuff and take on Him. And so God spoke to my heart this morning to minister on these two basic doctrines. First, the repentance from dead works. And second, faith in God, or faith toward God. These two go hand in hand. And because here's what I've seen people try. I've seen people try the one without the other, both ways. I've seen people try to repent from dead works, but not put their faith in God. That is called a New Year's resolution. That's called a new diet. That's called a new life plan. And if you do that, and some people can do it for a time, some people can do certain things for us and walk away from certain things because of their own willpower, but they're still missing the aspect of having faith in God, which builds your relationship with God, which is more important than just turning away from something that you don't want to do anymore. And the church has been bad, very, very bad about teaching things not to do, without teaching things to do. Right? So then we have this pendulum that swings. So we go from talking about all the stuff we're not supposed to do, because that's how we live holy lives, to abandoning that completely and talking about faith in God and living in the grace of God. And we get this what I call greasy grace, where we can't hold on to anything, where we have no foundation, where we're unstable because we just think, well, the grace of God covers everything. No, we need both. We can't just say that we have faith in God without repenting or turning away from dead works. So that's why these two go hand in hand, and we're going to talk about that this morning. And so I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to try my best to concisely, everyone say concisely. That means get to the point. I'll speak to you in hillbilly too, so that way all my hillbilly family know what I'm talking about. Right? Get to the point, Pastor Joe. I'm going to try to get to the point without going on and on and on. The problem is there's so much scripture that connects to all of this stuff, because it is the foundational doctrines of the truth of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I really felt like coming into this year, consecrating ourselves, moving through that, laying out the vision that God gave me for this church, what we're going to be doing this year, what we're about, being the lighthouse, the next step was to make sure we're reminded of these foundational doctrines. How many of you, just by show of hands, will never look at laying hands on people the same way again? It's always there, but we don't look at it that way because we just get accustomed to slapping our hands on people. How many of you are never going to look at baptism the same way again? Right? It's important that we talk about these things. And my goal is this morning that you're never going to look at repentance from dead works and faith in God the same way again. That God's going to drop a nugget in your heart of something new this morning, just as he did the last 2 weeks. And so here in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to start reading in verse 6. It says this: "Who has made us sufficient to be ministers of a new covenant." Now he's talking about Jesus Christ. This is what God has done. He's made us ministers of a new covenant. "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit." Everybody hear that? "Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." Now, there are people who like to uphold the letter of the law or adhere to the letter of the law. And what's interesting about that is that they miss the whole point of the law being there in place. The letter will kill, because the letter says that the requirement for sin is death. But the spirit behind the writing of the law was not that we could kill everybody, but it was so that everybody could be rescued from the curse of death and sin. So the letter or the law is what he's talking about here, that God gave Moses was a schoolmaster. We find this in the teaching of the Word of God. It's a schoolmaster. It's a teacher. It's showing us what righteousness is and what unrighteousness is. Correct? That's what the law shows us. But if we only have the law, then we only have punishment for when we break the law. Therefore, the letter kills. I have a sneaky suspicion this morning that if we all lived according to the letter of the law, none of us would be here. Actually, I have a pretty good foundation to stand upon when I make that statement, because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And there were some sins that they would take you out because that area of the world is full of rocks and stones. If you walk around, they say, I've never been, but they're everywhere. So they would take you out and they would throw rocks at you until they killed you if you broke the law. That's why it's important we understand that dead works are dead and have nothing to do with anything except death. Right? We're going to get into this a little bit more. But the Spirit, everyone say the Spirit, gives life. Here's the contrast. So he says this, now if, this is verse 7, now if the ministry of death carved in letters on stone came with such glory that the Israelites could not gaze at Moses' face because of its glory, which was being brought to an end, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? You hearing this? So God takes his finger, if you remember, in the Old Testament, and writes the laws in tablets of stone, gives them to Moses, and he calls this the law. And when Moses was in the presence of God receiving this law, when he would go into the tent of meeting, which is the tabernacle, and come before God to hear what God would speak to the people, he would come out glowing because he had been in the presence of God. It was a display of the glory of God upon Moses' life. And in what the writer here of 2 Corinthians is saying to us, it is Paul by the Holy Spirit, so it's really the Holy Spirit telling us this, that if that glory was so great that the people of God couldn't even gaze upon Moses, how much greater, oh come on church, how much greater is the glory of that which brought that first thing to an end, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 8, will not the ministry of the Spirit have even more glory? For if there was glory in the ministry of condemnation, the ministry of righteousness must far exceed it in glory. Indeed, in this case, what once had glory has come to have no glory at all because of the glory that surpasses it. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, let me explain this to you. I want you to see this picture. They would put a veil on Moses' face. And this passage of Scripture begins to talk about that. How they veiled his face. They covered his face. And we think of that in terms as, oh, they the glory shone so brightly, and that's partly true. But do you know the Bible also says this and bears it out? And I challenge you, go and read it, because I had to look at it 2-3 times to make sure I was getting it right, because I'd never heard this before, never saw this before until I started talking with some friends. The Bible said that that glory that was upon Moses would fade. And there is an allusion to the fact that it wasn't so much that they veiled his face because of the glory. They veiled it because the glory would fade.
Oh, hallelujah.
And because they were so dependent upon the law and its glory, they didn't want anybody to know that that glory was fading. You see, from the very conception of the law, that also started the fading of its glory. Some of you looking at me funny, like, what are you talking about? Because it was never supposed to last forever. The law was only put in motion to get us to the next step. Say, well, yeah, but still, Pastor, I mean, it was the glory that shone on him, they veiled him. Okay, let's go down this road, shall we? If it was the glory that they were trying to cover, and I understand that we have the sense in the Old Testament that people couldn't handle the glory of God because the Spirit of God had not yet come to live in the individual life. I understand that aspect. But let's just look at what happens with the veil then, okay? Not only was the face of Moses veiled, but there was a veil that was supposed to be made that was put in front of the holiest of holies, right? In the tabernacle or in the temple, okay? And that is where the Ark of the Covenant was held, which represented the throne of God. And therefore, since it was the throne of God, it is where the presence of God would rest upon the earth. It was veiled, and no one could go in there during the dispensation of the law. But when Jesus was hanging on the cross and he says he's commending his spirit unto God and he comes to the very end of everything, he says, it is finished. And when he said those three words, the veil of the temple was ripped in two so that the glory was no longer contained and no longer veiled from the people, but it was now spread out by the Holy Spirit himself upon the face of the earth. So what are you saying, Pastor Joe? I'm saying that when we try to live our life according to the law and only the law, then what we're doing is we're trying to live according to a faded glory that no longer exists there, and we have to hide things from others. We have to hide things from God. We have to act like we're all churchy. We have to act like we're all holy people, and we will dress a certain way and we'll talk a certain way until we lose our positive attitude, until that all of a sudden that devil that actually lives on the inside rises up outside of us. I'm not talking about an actual spirit. I'm talking about yourself. Because yourself is just as much as a devil sometimes as any other ungodly spirit. You know what Jesus said these people were? They're whitewashed tombs. They look good on the outside, but on the inside is nothing but dead man's bones. That's what the law created. It wasn't supposed to create that, but that's what it came to. That they had this form of godliness, but they denied the very power of it. They didn't walk in any authority. They didn't walk in any power from God. They just walked according to rules and rituals. And they felt like as long as they did the rules and rituals right, they were okay. But they were dead inside. And they were constantly hiding the fact that the glory of this thing that God instituted had now faded away, and something new had to happen and take place. What are you talking about, Pastor? I'm talking about dead works. I'm talking about dead works. You see, when Jesus said, "It is finished," he was saying that the work of the law had been completely fulfilled now in him. He fulfilled every letter of the law. He crossed every T, he dotted every I, and he said, "Amen," or "Let it be so." It is finished, it is done, and now all of those things have been put to death. Now everybody's going, "Yeah, Pastor, but don't you believe in holiness? Don't you believe in righteousness? Don't you believe in living right?" Absolutely, I do. But you can't do it on your own, because then you're living according to the letter of the law. And then you get so sour and bitter and mean because you can't go out and have fun and do what you want to do because it's a sin. So bless God, I ain't going to let anybody else have any fun. That's the letter of the law. It kills. Religion kills people. All the law does is show you that, hey, you're sin. There's sin on your life. And if you don't have something changed, you're going to die and go to hell. How do I get from there to walking with God? How do I turn away from dead works, trying my best to live right, to do right in my own self, never making mistake, never messing up? How do I get there and live for God? I can't without a bridge. That bridge spans from hand to hand. It's called the cross. John called it this. It's the propitiation for mankind and God. It is the atonement, where Jesus Christ took the world by one hand when it was stretched and nailed on this side, and grabbed a hold of God himself by the other hand. And he said, "Now I will bring you together. I will bridge the gap so that mankind can be connected with God again." He did that by putting sin to death. That's why we sang about the blood so much this morning, because if you don't have the blood, then you don't have the power to overcome sin. And you're stuck in your dead works. That's why it's a shame that some churches want to, "Well, we shouldn't talk about blood." Are you kidding me? How do we talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ and not talk about the blood? How do we preach the good news of Jesus Christ and not talk about the cross? It is the bridge that spans across and helps us get to God, makes a way where there was no way. So dead works is us trying to do things on our own over and over and over again. You ready for this? You know prayer can become a dead work. You know coming and sitting down in this building every Sunday can become a dead work. You know fasting can become a dead work. Well, Pastor, these are all things listed in the Bible that we're supposed to do. Do you know that even studying the Bible can become a dead work? How many ever talked to somebody that had so much knowledge of the Bible, but they had no life in the knowledge that they had? They just knew a whole bunch of scripture. Those things can easily become dead works. We have to turn away from the mindset that we can earn something with God. I could stand out here and dig a hole until probably about 6 inches to a foot until I hit bedrock in certain places of this property. And then I could take a sledgehammer, a pick, a maul, a mattock, I mean, and I could start chipping away at that rock. And I could say, man, I'm doing this for Jesus. My hands would get bloody. I could work and work and work and work and work. And say, I'm doing this for Jesus, and I'm gonna dig a hole to China for Jesus. And that's what's going to save me. No, that won't save me. That will break me up. That will bust me up. That will cause pain and suffering in my life for no reason at all. It won't get me anywhere. I can go to church every Sunday, sit in my seat, amen the preacher. I can pay my tithe, give in the offerings. I could even make sure that I'm a big giver. I can come to every prayer meeting. I can come to every revival service. I can go to every conference. I can read my Bible every day. I can pray every day. I can fast when pastor says to fast. I can do all those things and still go to hell. I'm getting pretty straight with you this morning because I want you to get a hold of this.
Yes.
Dead works are dead works.
Amen. Amen.
Now all the stuff I listed, they can be dead works, but they can also be works of faith. The difference is here in our heart, right here. Why am I doing what I do? Why am I doing what I do? Now let me read this and then we're going to go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 because I got some more stuff. I told you, some of you have been praying, Pastor, keep it to the point. Because the Holy Ghost just reminded me, don't keep going on there. You can keep teaching, but you need to move on. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 says this. For by grace, everyone say grace, you have been saved through faith. Isn't it interesting that that part kind of gets left off in our generation? Oh, we're saved by grace. Grace has saved us. Yeah, through faith. Through faith. You got to have two things working there, not just one. And this is not of your own doing. You can't earn it. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Look at me. I'm a Christian. I don't say this word or that word. No, I don't. But I don't do it so I can boast. I do it because there's been something that's happened in my heart. Life entered in. And I'm no longer dead. I want to preach on the resurrection now. Something's inside of me. So let me keep reading, because you got to get this. I almost started reading in Spanish. For we are his workmanship. Wow. Created in Christ Jesus for good works. Oh, wait a minute here. Now there's a different type of work. We were talking about dead works before, but now there's such a thing called good works. Now check this out. Which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. So what do? We repent. What does repentance mean? Come here, I'm going to make you mad, darling, but you'll forgive me later. She made me be the devil. Now she gets to be the devil. If you weren't at the women's conference, you didn't know that, but I had to play the devil. I am headed full bore in life towards dead works. I work 40 plus hours a week trying to earn a paycheck so I can blow it. Even those of you that have invested it, look at our surroundings right now and our economy. It's a good chance you blew it. Just saying. You buy a nice house and then it starts falling apart on you and you got to fix it. You buy a nice car and it starts falling apart on you. You got to fix it. Truthfully, we just keep spending money. I'm working so I can spend money. And I'm working so I can spend money. I'm working so I can invest money. I'm doing these dead works, trying to achieve. And just don't get mad at me, but did you know that the American dream is not the gospel? Sometimes people get so stuck on the American dream that they lose their faith. I'm working, working, working. Somehow God intervenes in my life and I realize there needs to be a change. Everything I've tried, some of you can name all kinds of stuff. I'll just name some funny ones. Chocolate didn't work for me. Fried chicken, it tastes good, but it doesn't last long. Right? Darling, shopping won't fix it.
I'll try anyway.
She still hasn't repented from one dead work yet. I'm headed headlong into these dead works. And all of a sudden, one day, there's someone who finds me aimlessly roaming around in this world, searching, searching, trying everything I can with these dead works, trying. He finds me. He taps me on the shoulder, and I realize, oh my goodness, look at this person in all of his glory and magic. Yeah. Who is this? Yeah. Who is this person?
Hallelujah.
Oh, your name's Jesus?
Yeah.
I think I've heard about you. Isn't that that stuffy religious group that tells you everything you can't do? No. That's the wrong Jesus. Oh, you're not that? Oh my goodness. I can't help but gaze at your beauty and your glory and your splendor. You notice what I'm doing now?
Yes.
I've turned away.
Yes.
I've repented.
Yes.
I've turned away from dead works. And now I believe in this one that I see.
Yes. Yes.
I believe in this one that I've experienced personally. That's the faith. And because of his grace, not because I earned it, but because of his grace, he just snatches me away from that life. Some of you were in the depths, what we would call the depths of sin, right? Some of you weren't. Some of you were just lost. You weren't drug addicts. You weren't alcoholics. You weren't fooling around on your spouse. But you still needed saved. Because you were chasing dead works. So whether you was in the depths of sin or you was just in sin, it doesn't matter. Sin is sin. The Bible says if we're guilty of one, we're guilty of them all. So I come and I see him in his glory, in his splendor, and I start believing in him. I put my faith in him, and in that I receive his grace, and I turn away from dead works, and I start following after Jesus. And in my following after Jesus, from what he's doing inside of me, in my heart, the life that he's putting in me, now I can't help myself but to do good works. Thank you, darling. Would you give her a hand? See, I can't build enough homes for people on HGTV who don't have enough money to build their own. Come on, somebody. You know what I'm talking about. I can't do that. I can't give enough clothes to people that don't have clothes. I can't give enough food to people who don't have food to rescue them and save them and save me from going to hell. But because one day God showed up and rescued me from hell. Now I can't help myself, but I see someone in need, and I know that God, my Father, has given me provision to take care of myself and others. Now, from the goodness that he's placed inside of me, I begin to give to the need. I begin to help. I begin to pray to God. I begin to read my Bible. I begin to fast. I can't help, but I help it because I get excited to be here on Sunday morning. This is not a dead work for me. This is life.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
I have to be here because something inside of me says, you don't want to miss it, Joe. You gotta get there, Joe.
Yeah.
Cause life is inside of me.
Yeah.
I've turned away from the dead works. I don't go to church to earn my salvation and earn my way into heaven. I go to church because I love God and I love the people of God. And I want to be with them. I don't read my Bible to earn my pathway into the streets of gold. I read my Bible so I can get to know the one I love so much even better. I don't pray so that I can check the box in the morning and say, well, now I should have a good day because I prayed. That's what Pastor Joe said. If you start your day out right, then your day will go right. I'm going to tell you something. It's probably a good thing that I pray. Because some days, if I didn't pray, come on, somebody. God only knows where I would have ended up that day. I pray because I want to talk to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to first thank him for rescuing me from death, past tense. But I also want to thank him for rescuing me today. Because today is the day of salvation. And since I know he's going to rescue me from some things today, that means I have to get my orders from my Lord. So I got to talk to him. I got to talk to him so I know what he expects of me today. Because today is not yesterday. And it's not tomorrow. And I don't know what I'm going to face today, but he does. So I talk to him to know what I'm supposed to do. I talk with him. I do these things, these good works, that they're works of faith because of the life that now lives inside of me. Not because I'm earning something with God. Now, I want you to go back to 2 Corinthians with me. Because we extract this from the context of the scripture all the time. And we talk about this, but I want to talk about it in light of what is being said about the letter of the law and the spirit of the law and what God is doing and what God has done. So let's look here. Let me just first read verse 15. So he says, yes, to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their hearts. Who's their hearts? The Jews and the people who are still trying to follow the letter of the law. So the veil is still there for them. Why? Because they're still trying to hide the fact that the glory has left. Ichabod, right? For all of my Bible students, the glory of the Lord is departed. It's gone. It's no longer there. But verse 16 says this, but when one turns to the Lord, the veil is removed. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom or liberty. We say this all the time when we're having a good Pentecostal service and say, oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, there is liberty. We can shout. But do you understand the context of this verse? It's saying we're no longer bound by dead works. We're no longer bound by the letter of the law. That means we're no longer bound by the curse that came with death. We have been set free because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom from these things. In my heart, in my life, I am not ruled by regulations and rituals and things I must do. I am ruled by the Spirit of God that lives inside of me, that's given me life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Let me just help you for a minute here. You trying to quit doing something? Stop doing it in your flesh. Stop trying to quit doing it in your flesh. I mean, we diet totally wrong. We think, okay, I'm going to lose weight. And we put together a plan for our flesh to eat right. I hope I'm just landing right where you're all living this morning. Holy Ghost is meddling, isn't he? He meddling. Well, you know, Pastor, that's just so hard because, you know, I mean, look, I made all the excuses too. And I don't eat right all the time either. Thank God I have Alicia, otherwise I'd be 350 pounds. She stays on me, man. Joe, you don't eat that. You don't need that. You don't need that third piece of pie. But the first two were so good. If we want to lose weight, if you really want, I'm going to tell you this morning how to eat healthy. Do it through the Spirit. Do it through the Spirit. I challenge you. You think that you need to go on a diet, you change your diet. We all have a diet, right? We all eat. That's your diet. But if you need to change that diet, start praying in the Holy Ghost over your food. Start declaring faith. Thank you, Jesus, that when I am full, I'm going to quit eating. Thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're going to check me. Now, he won't make you because he's a gentleman, but he'll be going, Joe, ding, ding, ding. This is not the dinner bell. This is the bell that the round is over. Stop eating. The Holy Spirit will lead us in all truths. Right? We do everything the wrong way. The Holy Spirit is the one who's given us freedom from the things that get a hold of our life. Now listen, sometimes we don't like to deal with it like this, Brother Jesse, but the truth is, and I know you know this, that's why I'm talking to you, they don't know it yet, but you do. So let's have this conversation, okay? Sometimes even after we're saved, we get stuff that just clings on to us. And we need to break free from it. We don't do that by praying for 2 hours and reading 50 chapters and coming to church every time the doors are open. We do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's the only way. It's the only way. Yeah, I understand. We talked about it a little bit last week. There's filth that tries to get on us again. It needs washed off. The washing of the water of the Word, right? But the water not only represents the Word, it also represents the Spirit. And if we try to do it by the letter of the law, then we're just going to make ourselves miserable. We're punishing ourselves for something Jesus already paid for at the cross. And I'm really going to mess with you now. You're throwing it back up in the face of God saying, well, I didn't need that part of what Jesus did for me. I can do this myself. Ouch. That one stomped on my toes. Did it stomp on your guys' toes? Sometimes you're preaching to yourself, Brother Andy. Dead works. Dead works. But when we turn to faith in God, He gives us His Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. We're not bound by anything anymore. No more addictions. No more things that we have to do. No more things that we have to say. No more ways that we have to act. I'm telling you, God's even helped me not to lash out in anger at times. You think, well, that's just a natural response. Not for Holy Ghost-filled people. Not for Spirit-filled people. We're controlled by the Lord, not ourselves. And we need to lend ourselves to Him. So He says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, let's keep reading here. Because we, like I said, we extract this from everything. We tear it apart. We don't understand it in the context. But He says here in verse 18, and we all, with unveiled face. Remember, the law has the veil. The Spirit has been unveiled. It is finished. The veil was rent in two. With unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, our being. Everyone say being. That's a process. That's a process. That means salvation is ongoing. Sanctification is working in our life. That means we're continually being separated away from the things of this world and being taken to the things of God. It's ongoing. So we are being transformed into the same image. From one degree of glory, hallelujah, to another, or the King James says, from glory to glory. And he says, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit, or even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So what I've been preaching to you is this, is the transformation process that takes place in our life happens by the Spirit. And He takes us from one place of God's glory to another place of God's glory to another place of God's glory, not by our works, not by our fasting, not by our praying, not by our preaching, not by our Bible reading, not by our church attendance. No. None of that works. It is by the Spirit of God that we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's vitally important that what we are doing is not about our dead works that Jesus put to death, but it's about our faith in Him. Listen, sometimes I get up in the morning and I don't feel saved. This morning was one of them. Here I am standing and preaching to you folk. Pastors, oh man, he don't even know he's saved or not. I didn't feel good this morning. My wife can tell you. I was up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going to tell you what was going on. I was not well. I didn't feel well. But I got up. And I reminded myself, today's Sunday, Joe. And there's something inside of you. A life that's been put in you, that there's a burning desire that you want to be at church. Listen, I didn't just show up because I got to preach this morning. I didn't show up out of obligation this morning. I didn't do that. Listen, I can call a number of people in this church and they can fill in and preach. They may panic for a minute, but they'll still get the job done because they know the word. That's not what it's about. I came here because there was a desire in my heart to be here, first of all. And second of all, there was also this burning inside of me, a word from God for you. And third of all, the Holy Spirit, because we're led by the Spirit, we walk in the Spirit, we live in the Spirit, we go from glory to glory by the Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit reminded me that faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ heals me. And so I just thought to myself, it don't matter how I feel, I'm healed in Jesus' name. And I ain't going to let nothing beat me. I just get stubborn sometimes when sickness tries to get on me, and I don't always win. I'm not perfect, come on. I'm just telling you my story because I'm the one talking. But man, sometimes I just, you know, we can get an attitude, can't we? We can get an attitude with coworkers. We can get an attitude with our spouse. We can get an attitude with our children. Sometimes we just need to get an attitude with whatever the devil's trying to put on us or the curse of this world's trying to mess with us about. And sometimes I just get an attitude with sickness and go, no, I don't care if I feel like garbage that was thrown out in the dumpster. I'm going to get up and do something for God today anyway because I'm getting an attitude with you. You can't be in my body because of what Jesus did for me. That's faith. In God. So I get an attitude about it. Sometimes it starts leaking over to my wife, sorry. But still, I get an attitude. I'm not going to be sick. I'm not going to miss out on what God's got for me. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. Because my faith is in God. It's not in dead works. I know the works that Jesus Christ did are alive. And they have conquered death. They have conquered hell. They've conquered every spirit. They've conquered every sickness. He has won the victory. And I'm going to hold on to Jesus until I see my victory come in my life. That is turning away from dead works and turning to faith in God. It's the only way I know how to put it. It's the only way I know how to put it. You can't do it on your own. You got to have the Holy Spirit. You got to have the Holy Spirit. Now, I was going to go into James, and he says that he would show, he said, some people say that, you know, have faith without works, works without faith, but he said, I'll show you my faith by my works. That's what he said, right? Yeah. So because of what God has done in me, let me just sum it up for you. I'm trying to get to the point. I know it's gone longer than I thought it would. Because of the life that is now in me by Jesus Christ, I can't help myself but do the good works that James talks about. That's why I believe in the laying on of hands. Because what it signifies of the transferal that the debt has been paid by Jesus Christ. And now by His Spirit, He's transferring life. That's why I believe in water baptism as a good work. Because I have been cleansed from all unrighteousness. And I'm not going to carry around the curse and the weight of this world anymore. The blood of Jesus cleansed me so that I am no longer guilty. I no longer stand before God with guilt, but the water cleanses me from all of the stain of sin. I don't smell like sin anymore. Some of you need to get a hold of that. You don't smell like sin anymore. The things of this world that try to jump on you, just let then wash off of you by the water of the word. You don't smell like that anymore. Listen, life happens, doesn't it? And people get labeled all this stuff. You know that God doesn't label us that, it's people. And sometimes we just gotta let the Holy Spirit wash those labels off of us. We don't smell like that stuff anymore. We don't look like that stuff anymore. I live holy because of the Spirit of God in me. I dress the way I dress. I talk the way I talk. I do the things that I do, not because I'm following a bunch of rules, but because the Spirit of God lives inside of me.
Amen. Amen.
And when I go and try to do stuff that my flesh is saying, oh yeah, that looks nice. That you like the Holy Spirit's going, no, that's a trap. That's a trap. I'm not living according to the letter of the law. I'm living according to the Spirit that was behind it that says, no, these things are wrong. And now I will empower you by my grace and by my Holy Spirit so that you do not have to live in that dead work anymore. But you live in this good work. Stand to your feet if you would. Would you come back to the piano, darling? Maybe you're in here this morning and you are thinking to yourself, man, I got some dead works I need to turn away from. I just read the scripture to you. We are being transformed. Being transformed into His glorious image. We used to sing an old song. I think they made it a kid's song, but it shouldn't really be a kid's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be, right? He's still working on me. It's the process. It's a big fancy word in the Bible we call sanctification. He's just keeping us set apart for His use, for His kingdom. And there's times where He's got to clean us up a little bit more, knock some burrs off of us, knock some things off of us, trim some things off of us. Because they're still there. He's still working on us. And isn't it wonderful that every time He works on us, we reflect Him even more? Because He is the Creator. And so when He's making us, He's putting Himself into us. These aren't things that you have to do on your own. He enables you by the Holy Spirit. And so this is what I want to encourage you. We've already bowed before God, but maybe after hearing this message, you feel like, I need to do that again. That's okay. Listen, I don't look down on anyone that comes and kneels at the altar. I think to themselves, man, they just want more of Jesus. Hallelujah. I want more of Jesus too. You'll see me kneeling at the altar all the time. I'm like, oh, that sinful pastor, he's got to go to the altar every Sunday. You better believe I do. So let's just get that out of the way. If the pastor's going to go to the altar, then shouldn't everybody else go to the altar? So if you feel, I'm not trying to convince you by my words this morning. I'm trying to instruct you. You understand the difference? I'm not doing this plea to make you feel guilty. I'm just giving you instruction. If something that was spoken to you this morning resonated or made sense, just come find a place and humble yourself before God and say, okay, God, I'm turning away from this thing, but not in my own strength, not in my own power, but by you. I might not even know what that means, God, but you're going to teach me. You're going to teach me. I'm walking away from this thing. And every step I make, the further I get away from it, the more of it becomes just a fading memory of what I used to be. Isn't that the whole thing of salvation? Father God, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, I thank you for this body of believers. I thank you for the work that you did, Jesus, on the cross, how you've set us free, how you've delivered us, that you have completed the work. It's finished, God. And therefore, we have the power to turn away from the dead things of our life, from the dead works of our life. We can turn to you in faith and believe. God, we can't always see it, but faith is not always by sight. It's the evidence of things I hope for and the things that are unseen that I put my faith in, God, knowing that you will accomplish the work. I pray that you would do that for those this morning, right now. And you would help us on this last Sunday we have in this first quarter, as we have dedicated our hearts, our minds, our desires, our souls, God, to be consecrated unto you this year. Let us close out this last Sunday in the first quarter of consecrating ourselves once again and saying, God, I'm turning completely to you, turning away from anything that's not of you. I don't earn it myself. Holy Spirit, come in my life. Help me. God, I pray that you would help those receive this by faith today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come on, if you need to find a place to pray, some have already came forward. You can do that. Or you can stand and worship God, but let God do a work in your life this morning.
Ironically, I have actually recently been studying this, and I had been speaking with someone, and they had shared with me that they struggled in their Christian walk because they had felt like there were so many rules, and that God was just this God that was just this judge, and he said, you can't do this, and you can't do this, and you can't do this. And I was praying about this, and I was like, how can I explain this to them in a way that they understand, because that's not who God is. And God had showed me that he is a loving father. And just like us as parents, we can say to our kids, because we love them and we can see ahead, we can see if they go down this path, it leads to destruction. If we put our child in a car seat and we're buckling them in, we're doing that for protection. We're not doing that to make them angry or fussy, or, you know, when I'm trying to strap a 2-year-old in and he's kicking and he's screaming.
It's because he loves us so much. If you see a child standing in the road, you're not going to let him stand there. You're plucking them out of the road. You're grabbing them. You're yelling. That's what God's doing for us. He's not saying, stop this because I don't want you to do that. He's saying, stop this because I love you. And I see ahead of time. I can see 2 years even down the road that you don't know and you can't see. And so anytime now, if I hear something and God convicts me of something and that he might not even convict you of, it's because he loves me and he can see what I don't see.
Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for life, Lord. We thank you that you sent your son Jesus to the cross to die for us. And through his blood, it cries out unto you, life. That life was given for us. We would no longer have to continue in deadness and dead works, but we are given life through you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Help us, Lord, to continue to walk by faith. For your word says that those of us that have been justified or been made right in your eyes, through the blood of Jesus, now we live and walk on. our lives by faith. So our faith is in you, Jesus. It's in you alone. Because of that, we now live according to what you say. You are Lord of our life. If you tell us to quit something, we quit it. If you tell us to do something, we do it. Because you are the Lord of our life, Lord. We've made a commitment to you. We've consecrated our life to you. We've humbled ourselves before you this day. We've bowed ourselves before you this day, Father. We give our lives to you because Jesus gave his life for us. Let us, for the rest of this year, remember the dedication that we've made of consecrating ourselves, Lord, to your service, to your work, following after you, Father. We pray blessing upon everyone here, Lord, that your face would shine upon them, that they would walk in your peace. Prosper them, Lord, and keep them in good health, even as their souls prosper, their mind, their will, their emotions, Lord. Let them prosper in you, Father. Lord, we will never fail to give you all the glory and the praise and the honor. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. You're dismissed in the name of Jesus. Have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget, next Sunday is Palm Sunday. We're going to all come together, be in one place, all the students and everyone, and we are just going to praise Jesus, our triumphant King. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday.